Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of November 22nd, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. This mini-pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead, and we're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what candidates are saying on the 2020 campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. Over the past week, newcomer to the Democratic field, former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick made his first foray into South Carolina. But due to scheduling conflicts, we couldn't catch up with him. However, former Vice President Joe Biden was also in town this week, and he gave us a 10-minute interview before his rally in Greenwood on Thursday. So, like we do with all candidates who give us one-on-one interviews, this is the Joe Biden episode. Here is our interview a day after the fifth Democratic debate, which took place in Atlanta. So, sir, we're about less than 100 days away from the South Carolina primary. You're maintaining a strong lead in South Carolina, has not really changed that much. Are you concerned, though, about other early voting states where you are not in the lead, Iowa, New Hampshire, about how that could affect your momentum coming into South Carolina on February 29th?
Well, look, I've been up and down in both those states. Matter of fact, the day the poll came out showed me behind in Iowa and the mayor ahead. Then the next day, CBS had a poll showing me ahead. So, I think this is very fluid, particularly in the first two states, where traditionally it is people make up their mind very late. The one thing the polling data shows, though, in both those states is the single most important thing people are looking for is who can beat this president of the United States. And overwhelmingly, they think I have the best chance of beating him. So I take solace from that, as well as we're still doing well in the national polling. As a matter of fact, we're ahead in all the national polling. So,
in terms of electability, some people worry, though, possibly Michael Bloomberg, who thinks that maybe you're not the most viable person. Do you think that's not the case? I mean, you've been around for a long time. It seems like you have pretty strong support. What do you take when they say we might need to jump in the race to help out Joe Biden?
Well, you know, in the early states, the mayor's favorable rating is exceeded by his unfavorable rating. Mm-hmm. But he's a smart guy, and he's competent as can be. And, you know, I welcome him in the race and see, you know, where it goes. But there's, I just think that, you know, when you have that much money, you think mostly anything is possible.
Yeah, do we need another billionaire in the race?
I don't think we need anybody more in the race. All the polling data shows as well, as you know, is the Democrats are satisfied choosing among the field they have, and they're hoping to winnow down the field so we can actually get into some real debates. But look, it's what it is, and we just deal with it.
Going from one Republican, a former Republican, Mayor Bloomberg, to talking about Republicans in general, a lot of disenfranchised Republicans out there this cycle. How do you see targeting them, and how do you see them playing into your strategy in 2020? How important is it to be able to appeal to disenfranchised Republicans?
Well, look, this is not your father's Republican Party. And traditional Republicans, many of them, are as upset as independents and Democrats are about the behavior of this president, how he has done such damage to us internationally. And what I've always viewed my role to be as a candidate is to say what I believe, what I'm going to do, and why I'm going to do it. And thus far, again, looking at, to talk about the polling data, in those states where the next Democrat is going to have to not be a drag, but a positive impact on making sure we elect senators and congressmen, whether it's North Carolina or Georgia or whatever, I'm doing very well. And so there is some evidence that there's Republican support as well as independent support. But the point is, it's early, and we all have to make our case.
Do you think that the president should be impeached right now, as you see it?
I think he's impeached himself. I mean, look, you have virtually every one of the administration officials who've come forward now, virtually everyone, has said that he, in fact, tried to hold up, he held up aid going to an ally to protect people in Ukraine from Russian soldiers and supporters. And he held that aid up while people are being shot and killed in order to try to convince a reform president to say he's going to open an investigation on Joe Biden. And the reform president, fortunately, withheld the pressure and said, no, not doing that. And so it's become pretty clear what's happened here. And now the thing that bothers me most about these impeachment proceedings is that he's actually threatening witnesses by trying to intimidate them. tweeting while they're testifying. A really first-rate ambassador, a professional, a consummate professional. And she says she's really worried about things. A war hero, a lieutenant colonel, who now says he needs to have protection for his wife and children at home. I mean, my God, what's this man doing? Mm-hmm. It's just wrong.
So, Vice President, then, with that being said, if you think he does need to be impeached, do you worry then if he does get impeached by the House, not convicted by the Senate, that he might be maybe empowered going into the election where he can...
It's possible, but look, here's the deal. You know, there's a constitutional responsibility. The House has a constitutional responsibility to determine whether or not the Constitution has been violated by a president of the United States, whether or not the Republicans have the courage to act like Republicans did with Nixon and others, whether there's people of honor that will stand up, like everyone from Howard Baker to former Maine Senator Bill Cohen on down the line, remains to be seen. But I think that's going to be affected by how the public in their communities view, in their states view things. And so I think the House has no choice but to move forward.
But does it make it harder to run against Donald Trump if he says, they impeached me, but they didn't kick me out? Does that make it harder to defeat him, in your opinion?
I think theoretically it does, but I think not, because the fact is everyone knows that what he has done. It's their job to decide whether or not to impeach and convict him. My job is to go out and beat him.
Mm-hmm. When we look at the debate last night, Senator Cory Booker asked you if you were high when you were talking about marijuana being a gateway drug. Did you find that insulting? I know you didn't really respond to him saying that at the time, but what did you think when he said that to you? And did that misinterpret how your approaches to your stance on marijuana?
Yes, it was. I was surprised Cory pulled that stunt. I think he was looking for another T-shirt moment, you know, like happened before. But here's the deal. I have for a long time, and he knows it, and everybody else knows it. I think there should be the decriminalization of marijuana. I do not think that anyone should be in jail because of the use of marijuana. And I think, and I've argued for some time in my reform plan, that they, in fact, should all, the record should be totally expunged. If anyone's in jail, the record should be expunged. If they were convicted and didn't go to jail, should be expunged. Mm-hmm. They're entitled, and expunged means not only is it taken off the books, but you no longer have to ask, honestly, have you ever been arrested? Have you ever been, you can say no. Total expungement. And what I did, and I did, I never said that that it's a gateway drug. I said some say it's a gateway mm-hmm. drug. But I did say that scientists still believe they should study the effects of it more on things that don't relate to being a gateway drug, whether you'll use another drug. But there's some evidence that has impacts on young people's brains, or some evidence that has, and I don't know enough to know. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to be science-based, let the scientists investigate, make it clear that, in fact, it is thoroughly safe to use.
Mm-hmm. And kind of sticking with that, we see a lot in the news about vaping. I know you haven't maybe talked too much about this, but we did see that the president was going to start outlawing those flavors for vapes. Now it sounds like he's taking that back. Do you have a stance on what should be done with
I
vaping?
I think it should be outlawed until we know more. Mm-hmm. I just, look, it seems to me that...
The flavors should be outlawed, or vaping should be...
Well, the answer is the medical community should take a look and make a determination whether the combination of whether vaping by itself and the combination of using these flavors are the reason why some people are dying, some people are in fact in real trouble with respiratory trouble. I just think it's just rational. It's a little bit like you came along and said, well, people are taking this prescription, but people are dying. You'd say, whoa, let's hold up a minute. Let's take a look and see whether or not it has any impact. And so I would, in fact, withhold. Mm-hmm.
And also, we heard from Senator Elizabeth Warren last night talking about ambassadorships. There's been a lot of discussion about ambassadorships and donors. What are your thoughts on if ambassadorships should be awarded to people who are political donors? Do you have any thoughts on that? I know it's been done in both kind of administrations.
No, it has, but the answer is no. And by the way, she talked about anybody who contributes $1 million. No one contributes $1 million to me. Biggest contribution I've ever gotten as running for office is $2,800.
Your inauguration committee, for example, if you were to have an inauguration.
No.
Like that.
It's going to be on the merits. If there's any time we need people who are truly qualified to know what they're doing internationally, it's now. Mm-hmm. this moment, because we have to reconstruct our alliances. NATO is in jeopardy. What's going on in Asia in terms of Japan and Australia and South Korea and the relationships we had, they're in disarray. We need people who are professionals and know what they do. You can go into the State Department now, stand on the seventh floor and holler and you hear an echo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's virtually been, it's bereft of, with notable exceptions, of talent. And no, the one thing I know a fair amount about is American foreign policy, how to conduct diplomacy, and it's critically important that we have the best minds that have expertise in the areas that we assign them to.
And like we said, starting off, we have about a minute left. What do you need to do now to maintain your lead in South Carolina going forward toward February 29th, in your opinion?
Make it clear to the people of South Carolina, I don't expect the support, I want to earn the support. And even though we have overwhelming support so far, I'm here because I want to make it clear. I want to earn it. I want to earn it. Because South Carolina has such enormous potential. And I've fell in love with the state back in 1974. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's a beautiful state, has so many possibilities. Mm-hmm. And so I just want them to know I want to earn their votes. Mm-hmm.
And this is for our podcast, The South Carolina Lead. I'm sure. Wondering, do you listen to podcasts? Do you have a favorite podcast?
Well, actually, I don't have much of a time to listen to podcasts. Occasionally, I do, but I don't get much of a chance to do that.
Gotcha. We should check it out sometime.
I will.
Thank you, sir. Well, appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Looking ahead, we have several candidates in town over the next few days, including Andrew Yang, Marianne Williamson, and Senator Kamala Harris. You can find out more of where those candidates will be on their websites. Also, follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for candidate updates and other political news. Watch the remarks from Joe Biden and others who have visited the state on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page under the SC 2020 playlist. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased toward any candidate or campaign. We're just covering these candidates as they come through and as we can get to them. We're out there trying to get as much information for you so you can make your own decision in 2020. It's less than 100 days away, guys. Start studying up. And we'll bring you a mini pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. And let us know your thoughts on our Twitter at @SCLeadPod. You can also follow us with the same handle on Instagram for photos from the campaign trail, our dank memes, and other great photos. It's at @SCLEDEPOD. Send us your hot takes. And just the hot takes. Campaign Trail Bites is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson.